On today's episode, Ryan discusses his beer that he brewed, the Irish Complexion, a combination of a cream ale and a Irish red ale. Cheers. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Brewthers-in-Law podcast, where beer is thicker than water. In this podcast, we take a journey discovering home brewing, craft beer, and more. I'm Mike, and as always, I'm joined by my brother-in-law, Ryan.
How's it going?
It is going great. Just got done petting your puppy. He's getting so big.
I know.
Every time I come over here, he's filling out. He's filling out really nice. So you can tell that he knows he's found his forever home, and he's got that forever home appetite.
Yes, he does. Believe me, that food, by the time we have put the bag of food away in the pantry, the food's gone. So he scarfs it down, and we could put whatever we want in there. Like he is on some antibiotics right now, but like we put the pill in there, he doesn't care. He just scarfs it.
That's nice.
It is very nice. It makes it easy
Layla
for us.
Layla has a nasty habit of like being able to eat the entire treat around a pill and then spit it out clean afterwards.
That's what I was worried about with him.
Yeah. All right, so Ryan and I are both amateur homebrewers excited about beer and homebrewing. So on Brewthers-in-Law, we aren't looking to act as authorities, but to share our experiences with you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we hope that you will share with us so that we can all learn and grow and enjoy this wonderful hobby together. So with that said, let's begin with the first sip. The topic of this episode, right, is your attempt to combine the American cream ale with a classic Irish red ale. And so The first sip for here is going to kind of be a branch off of the Irish theme. What is the last movie or TV show you watched that had either Irish American, like your beer, or just simply Irish or Celtic themes in it, or characters, prominent characters in it? And what did you think of it?
So this is a weird one. My wife had surgery a while ago, and she was pretty much out for the count in bed while she was recovering. And so I caught up on movies that I wanted to watch that I knew she wasn't going to watch. And one was called The Foreigner. It is Jackie Chan. So
very Irish already.
I was going to say, we're going very Irish already. But it's based in Ireland, in Northern Ireland. So it's going back and forth between the two areas. It's kind of like a spin-off Taken. So Jackie Chan plays Liam Neeson's character.
You are making this sound so delightful. Oh my God.
It honestly wasn't that bad of a movie. So
no, like Pierce Bronson. I'm not being ironic. That sounds amazing. I love Jackie Chan.
I will say he's getting old. He doesn't do a lot of the kung fu action with it that he usually does, martial arts.
Oh, so this is a recent... Oh, I remember this. It's like kind of semi-serious for him,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, very serious role. Oh, okay. And then the bad guy is Pierce Bronson, who is very Irish. And he is the head of something to do with the Northern Ireland gangs and everything else, along with working with the British to kind of make sure everything works together. So he kind of keeps all the Northern Ireland groups from doing anything bad that they have done in the past. And something happens. Jackie Chan's mad. He finds out that Pierce Bronson has connections. And the bad thing was Jackie Chan's daughter died. So he wanted to find out who did this whole thing so we can get revenge.
Okay. And that's not a spoiler. That's
no,
like the beginning.
That's like
the
right at the beginning. It's kind of like taking, you know, Liam Neeson's daughter gets taken right off the bat. You know that's what
happens. Everybody knows that.
Exactly. So just like that. And then he goes through the whole process of trying to figure out everything and get revenge on it. Very good movie. It's on Netflix.
I might have to check it out. I am a sucker for Jackie Chan. I'd be interested to see him. It's like kind of been a theme lately. Lately being sort of a stretch, but you know, the reconnaissance, like Matthew McConaughey doing like Dallas Buyers Club and True Detective and Interstellar and stuff. And like Vince Vaughn was in season two of True Detective. That's the only thing I can think of right now, but I feel like there have been a lot of cases like that lately where you get to see usually really funny actors like take on a really serious role. I would be very interested in checking that out.
Yeah. What about you?
So both I've seen two movies that I can think of with Irish characters lately. They're both gangster films, and I've just found that in a lot of gangster films, there's like always one token Irish character. Oh, so the most recent is the original Godfather, okay. Which is a classic. One of my favorite movies of all time. And obviously, it's mostly about an Italian family, but their consigliere and like the adopted brother, Tom Hagen is Irish. So yeah. That one technically counts. Most people agree it's like the greatest movie of all time or one of, so I won't dwell on that one. The one that led me to rewatch that one was, the movie The Irishman, which Haley and I had just watched
prior
to that. Yeah. But again, it's like mostly about Italian gangsters. And then like Robert De Niro is like the Irishman. And he's called that because he's like the only one. You know? But it was a long movie. We actually watched it in two sittings. I tend to agree with what people said about the kind of aging up. Or the aging down of him and Joe Pesci not being done. Like I don't know why they couldn't have just gotten younger actors to play young them. But so that was a little weird. But like overall, it was a solid movie. It's cool gangster movie in that like you don't leave it going like, wow, gangsters are really cool. Like you like it really communicates the idea like, holy crap, that's a. You know, what a messed up life. What a messed up life to lead. So, now, yeah, I don't know. If that's your thing, you're okay with a movie being 4 hours long.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's really holding me back on that one was 4 hours long.
Yeah.
Plus the aging down, which I just disagree with on most levels. Unless it's a small part. Like, it wasn't done great, but in Tron Legacy, like that new one they did for it, and they aged down Jeff Bridges. To have a counterpart. He still played himself in his old age,
right, but
he had a counterpart that was not done well, but still only a small part.
Yeah. And since it's all kind of virtual anyway, it's sort of the not done well works a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like to me, it was they didn't look young, especially like their old man hands were like shaking. But for me, it didn't really detract from the movie much.
Okay.
I don't know. I would not let that stop you from watching it. Martin Scorsese knows how to do a gangster movie. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we just watched it in two installments so that we didn't, you know, because it's hard for us to kind of set 4 hours aside at the end of a day for a movie.
Yeah. All right. Before we dive in, though, we actually have some listener feedback. I scoured Facebook and a few other things and was able to get a couple things on there. So our first one is actually a friend of yours and a friend of mine, Adam Messina.
Oh, hey, Adam.
He shot on Facebook. He said, awesome. Michael Newton, Ryan Coon, you guys have great speaking voices. Love the talk. Great job for all you beer guys out there. Give it a listen.
Oh, thanks, Adam.
And I think he's coming on another one as well, but that was from our second episode, which is A Typical Brew Day. And then the other one that we got is funny story. Our mother-in-law.
The mother-in-law.
I know. The mother-in-law from both of us. We love her. There's no like stereotypical like hate towards the in-laws for us. No. We love our in-laws. And
there's a reason we got close enough through their family to start this podcast.
Exactly. So she actually commented on the 1v1 that we did through Boss Rush Games.
This is a stretch, not technically our podcast, but
still we're on it. We're part of it. And shout out to Boss Rush for having us on there as well.
And yes, Celeste Roberts for doing a really nice job with the interview. Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Our mother-in-law, Diane, said, love this heart emoji. And she had about 5 exclamation points on there as well. And I thought it was just cool that our mother-in-law came on and said a few things.
Nice.
She's listened to all our episodes.
We
so
know
far.
Very well that she doesn't like beer. So
yes, no, she does not like beer. But she every
we
time
appreciate
I see her, she's like,
your dedicated
"I love your
patronage."
Podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ticking the play count up.
Yep.
One person at a time.
Yep. So let's dive into this episode, and the title is pretty much called "Why Not." So when I brew, I find something that hasn't been done as much as I can. And try and do a spinoff it.
Yeah, you're always trying to do something relatively unique.
Yes. So this one is called the Irish Complexion. Why is it called that? Because it is an Irish red cream ale. So we're going to sample the two base of this brewery. The first one we're going to do is a cream ale, which I believe you brought, Michael.
I did, yeah. So local... local brewery, Dark Horse Brewing, out of Marshall, Michigan, makes this cream ale. It's called Check to the Head. It's got this wonderful, you know, we love our hockey up here in Michigan, so it's got this wonderful, like, art with like a hockey player with a black eye and teeth missing, getting the crap checked out of him. Ryan,
I'm gonna go ahead
and pour these out. And the first thing that is like very obvious is that this is a very light, you know, kind of like a classically yellow, you know, fizzy yellow beer. So
I do have some notes. So I'll kind of explain what a cream ale is. So cream ale, and this is from Beer Advocate. So just do my due diligence of
give credit.
Cream ale spawned from the American light lager style. They are brewed as an ale, though sometimes finished with a lager yeast. So it gives it a nice lighter feel to it. They are generally a little maltier than a lager, but still go down very, very easily. Very light in ABVs, are usually about the same as a light lager.
This one is 4.5%.
This is 4.5%, so that's about right. I think Bud Light is usually around 5 or something like that. So,
for the IBUs, there's just a picture of a dude with a beard and a hat. So I have no idea. But I
Dark
assume,
Horse translate
I assume
that to me.
I assume that's because the IBUs are pretty negligible.
Yes.
You know what? You're making me thirsty. Let's give this a try.
I'll say, give this a quick try. So
I say try, but I've drank a lot of this beer in the summer. It really is like, I think it's more flavorful than a light lager. Mm-hmm. It definitely, the finish isn't as dry. You can tell that it's an ale.
Yes. So it definitely has a little more flavor to it. It still goes down real smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very smooth, very drinkable. And I get to maybe a little bit more, and and I know that this one is hopped with Michigan hops as opposed to like Noble hops, okay. But I feel like I taste the hops a little more. Mm-hmm. I get some hints of, you know, flavor from a more expressive yeast too, like you'd find in.
Yeah. So the one thing that they do a lot with, cream ales is they use corn or rice with it. That helps with the color.
To dry it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much it. It's like I said, it's a very, very light beer.
It's a really easy drinking beer. Yeah. Like this is super crushable. Ryan's gone already.
I just finished my half of it.
Yeah. I like this. I like light lager as well. And you know, for certain scenarios, and just regular American lager too, especially now that there are some like really nice options being offered by
a lot of microbreweries are kicking into it.
Yeah. But still cream ale is a nice alternative. It's just different enough. And one of the really cool things about it is that it is like kind of a historical American style.
Mm-hmm. So the next one for the Irish red of it, we're going to go with the very, very classic one, Killian's Irish Red. You can pretty much find this anywhere in the country.
Takes me back to college.
I know, right?
We used to go to that Buffalo Wild Wings near the one in Novi, near where we live now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I turned 21, like, you know, because I started getting a tall Killian's every time we'd go there. And previously, obviously, I would just get a water or something. And like, just noticing that all of a sudden my bill had doubled. Because sometimes I'd get two while we were there. It's like, it was like, welcome to the world of being 21, yep. Where all restaurant trips are now twice as expensive as they used to be.
So clearly right off the bat, the color is completely different.
Yeah, quite. Obviously a bit darker. If you've ever had an Irish red, that's not going to be terribly surprising. It's got a nice kind of an off-white head.
Yeah.
I definitely smell, you know, you smell a little bit of caramel on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sweet too. And I guess not overly sweet, but honestly, like this, I haven't had an Irish red in a while. I forgot how much sweeter they are than like American amber ale.
Yes. Yes.
It's really quite sweet. I get, I'm just giving all my impressions now because you're gonna tell me a little bit about the style.
I got a little bit on this one, yeah.
But yeah, like definitely sweeter than sweet, malty, like very caramely. Still fairly easy drinking, but definitely not as light as a cream ale, which I can't help but assume is part of your inspiration to try and combine these styles. You know, a bit heavier, a bit nicer in the winter. What is the ABV on this?
Honestly, it's not on the can. I was just thinking that they apparently do not put it on there.
Oh, look.
You can Google that one. And I'll kind of do my little bit from Beer Advocate as well. So an Irish Red Ale is known for its unique malty taste on a lower side of bitterness and alcohol content scales. So different than an American Red, which is more of an amber, has a little bit more of a bite to it. This is more smooth, though sometimes some reds can give you a little bit of a bite.
So this one is 5.4%.
5.4?
So okay. Just a little bit stronger.
A little bit, yeah. So why did I do this, you ask?
Well, hold on.
Oh, no. Okay, what do you got?
I want to back up a little bit. Okay. So I think we've outlined the differences a little bit, right? The Irish Red is obviously darker.
Yes.
It's a little maltier. They're both pretty easy drinking, but cream ale is not only lower ABV, but they use an adjunct like corn rice, most oftenly to lighten the beer up even more. For anyone that doesn't brew, when you use corn or rice or like sugar.
Crystal malt is another one.
Well,
usually too.
Well, crystal malt will add body though. But like when you're using like an adjunct, like one of those, you're basically just adding like fermentable sugar to the beer without adding all of the proteins and other things that contribute to like beer body. So like the reason that Bud Light uses rice is because it lightens the beer up. It adds alcohol without adding
color,
without adding body and without adding color. Yeah. That's, I think, is part of the reason that despite the fact that they're both pretty low ABV, the cream ale is way lighter drinking than an Irish Red. So
absolutely. Yes.
So what in your mind, so you've already said that you're trying to hybridize these two styles. What are the qualities of the cream ale that you wanted to bring over to your beer? And what are the qualities of the Irish Red? Like what were the kind of qualities you were trying to combine together to create this hybrid?
As you kind of mentioned earlier, I wanted an Irish Red that is drinkable. I wanted something that an Irish Red that I could drink on the beach and not have an issue with knocking myself out because it's too malty or too heavy.
So basically like an Irish, like a red lawnmower beer.
Right, exactly. Yes. So I wanted to put them together and kind of work something together. And then also my wife loves both styles of beers and I decided, you know what, let's see what happens if I combine them and see how she feels about it. So that's really what I wanted. I wanted a drinkable Irish red or drinkable red beer pretty much. I'm going to finish what I have here real quick, and I'm going to pour us a little bit.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me ask you a follow-up question first.
Yeah.
And then maybe, I think maybe we'll take a break before we do the the Irish complexion. So in terms of ingredients, I guess you're probably going to talk about it when we taste a little bit, but like, What do you, when you were looking into designing this recipe, we kind of talked about some of the ingredients for the cream ale. It's a fairly simple, you're using pale malts, either like probably a Pilsner or literal pale malt. And then you're using some corn.
Yep.
You're hopping it lightly. You're using an ale, like a clean ale yeast. So for the Irish, for normal Irish reds, what sorts of ingredients go into those?
So they're very similar, pretty much minus the corn. So they use it. You can use a pale malt extract for the most part, or as your base. And then they use a lot of roasted barley. So different kinds of roasts, different types of levels of barley give you that red, give you that difference in everything as well.
Okay.
And they're very differently with each one. So
I assume is there caramel malt usually as well?
Some caramel malt. Again, it depends on your beer. So.
I definitely taste a little bit. Or can roasted barley like give a similar...
possible. I mean, I'm not sure exactly. So
yeah, sorry, I'm not trying to grill you, but it's never sounds a style like I've really looked into making. So I don't know a lot about what sort of ingredients go into it.
Yeah, because I know Haley does not like reds.
She loves reds.
Reds and ambers,
reds
right?
are in her bread basket.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like her ideal beer probably. Okay. But,
well, that's something
that or a Guinness, I guess. Speaking of Guinness, it's interesting you mentioned roasted barley. I know is there's a bunch of that in Guinness, and that's a big part of what makes Guinness so dark, where the color comes from is roasted barley. So it's interesting. That sounds like that's maybe just kind of a very traditionally like Irish style ingredient.
Yeah, most likely. I mean, I feel like, I mean, the Irish know their barley. I mean, between that and potatoes, I think that's all they really grow. nothing against Irish, because I am one.
Right. We're both Irish, so, yep. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, so.
Don't question it. I'm like 1/16.
Yeah, I'm about, actually, I think I did the, what was that, 23 whatever test, and 23. I think I am like 70% either, they break it down to just the British Isles, so I'm like 60 or 70% that, so.
Are you, okay, cool. Yeah.
But let's take a quick break, and then I'm going to pour some while we're on a break, and then we'll give it a quick sample, and then we'll talk about what went into it, the IBUs, ABV, and all that kind of stuff with the hop level and the alcohol level for this one. And that's going to be some interesting stuff, because it wasn't what I was, it was more than what I was hoping, actually. So
it wasn't what you were expecting.
No, not quite.
Okay. Well, let's take that break and we will get to it when we get back.
Hey, this is Jordan Johnson.
And I'm Max Olmsted.
And we're at the Top Hat Balloon Show here.
Yeah, so it's a sketch comedy show and it's a complete secret to everyone.
Yeah, it's a super secret. It comes out weekly, but only you can know about it.
Yes, yeah, so you're one of the special few who we're telling about it.
Yeah, so make sure you go to YouTube, iTunes, or our website.
TopHatBalloonShow.com.
Yeah, and watch our videos and subscribe, but don't tell anyone. Well,
tell some people.
Maybe tell some people.
Maybe a few folks.
Maybe only tell, like, each of you only tell 20 people each.
Yes. Then it'll still be small and cool, but...
Yeah, but it's a secret, okay?
Yeah.
It's a secret.
Keep that in mind.
The secret Tom Eppelin Show, okay? Goodbye.
Hey, this is TC.
And this is Jim from the Studio Demands It podcast.
Where every episode we take a demand from a hypothetical studio...
Which could be you.
And challenge ourselves to conceptualize, pitch, and craft a film based on the stipulations...
Or the demands...
We are given. We talk about movies all the time. Particularly, we complain about the choices made in the films we've seen.
We're nerds like that.
And, of course, like any good nerd does, we automatically assume that we could do better.
Even with the demands and restrictions that clearly must have been put on by a production.
So head on over to studiodemandsit.com and listen to our previous library of episodes. Our library of previous episodes. Our precious library, Jim. Our library of precious episodes.
You're a pirate, Smeagol.
Okay. So head on over to studiodemandsit.com to listen to our library of episodes.
And submit your demand for a future episode, too.
So go do that.
Okay, bye.
Okay, end of ad.
And welcome back. So, we are going to... We got a nice pour in front of us here.
We are now sitting in front of two delectable-looking half glasses.
Well, you got to drive home still, so...
I do have to drive home of Irish complexion. So, before we talk about the beer and do a little tasting, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you kind of developed the recipe and those sorts of things?
So when it comes to most of my recipes, I kind of look at see what's already been done. I pull up other recipes that are similar to what I'm doing. So for instance, the hazy Triforce IPA that I do is a hazy IPA. I pretty much looked up a basic hazy IPA, New England IPA, and saw what they did, and kind of expand upon it, made a couple differences and everything
you
else.
You use it as a starting point to make your preference adjustments.
My base, yeah. So same thing with this one. I kind of looked up what a base cream ale is and what a base Irish red is. So this took a little bit of both. So it started off with a basic pale malt extract, which both kind of use for the most part. So it has a nice base to use for that. And then to kind of balance everything out, I use some flaked maize, which is just corn. And then I use some roasted barley to kind of give it that color that I wanted with it. So the flaked maize gave it the alcohol content a little bit. And then the roasted barley gave it this kind of reddish brownish color. I was not happy with the color, I will say.
You know, and I guess like disclosure, like I've seen this beer before.
before this episode because Ryan brought a little over to our in-laws for a family party. And I wouldn't have said that it looked quite red enough to be an Irish red, but after drinking that Killian's, I actually think it's pretty close.
I mean, a little bit. Yeah.
I held that up to the light too. I don't mind the color at all. Like, it's a little hazy. Maybe if it clears over time, you actually might find that it looks a lot more like. Have you done a side by side with one of your Killians?
I have not actually. I might do that actually because I have 12 pack upstairs. Because
I would have. If you poured this blind, I might have said differently, but being that we just had a Killian's, I think the color's closer than you're giving yourself credit for.
I mean, I'll take it.
it's maybe a little more orange. You know,
it's a cloudiness, I think. I need to do something to clear it. Maybe I did put Irish moss in this. That usually helps clear it out, but yeah. I might do maybe something else to help clear out as well.
You could try doing some kind of like biofine or gelatin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that would help a little bit. But yeah, I want to say it's like Sam Adams Irish Red has this like deep, deep red color that's like.
I wonder if they put like. I do know in some Irish Reds, I don't know which breweries do this or which don't, but I've heard rumors that Irish Reds have a little bit of beet juice in them.
I've heard that as well, or that you can even just like kind of chunk up some beets and throw them in like in the last 5 minutes of the boil, and that. You get that kind of deep red color without really getting any flavor.
Yeah.
I could see that. And honestly, even like some beets are super earthy. And a lot of those like Fuggles and East Kent Goldings and stuff, they all kind of have sort of earthy hop flavors anyway. A lot of the British hops. So I wonder if like you could probably get away with that. I wouldn't be upset to learn that. I actually think it'd be kind of fun to mess around with doing that.
Yeah, I played around. I'll get to that, but it's funny you say those exact hops because the hops in this are Cluster, Golding, and Fugl hops.
Okay, yeah. So all very
definitely the earthy,
very floral, British Isles hops. Yeah.
Floral hops in this. No IPA hops.
I've heard them described as kind of like herbal and like tea like almost too.
Yes.
Which is funny to me because we were talking before this episode about like New Zealand hops and like New Zealand hops. Apparently, I'm going to be brewing with them. Very soon. But they apparently kind of taste like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc wine.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's true and like New Zealand hops taste like Sauvignon Blanc and British hops taste like tea, like that's so hilariously fitting. Like, come on.
Next, we're going to find out that Russian hops taste like slight vodka flavor.
Like vodka? I love it.
So, like I said earlier, you got some Irish moss in here that's supposed to help clear it up.
Yep.
And then the yeast is a British ale yeast, which is a very basic, very clean, crisp yeast to use.
Yeah. I just used some British ale yeast in an IPA and was really happy with it.
And honestly, like the yeast I got was pretty much, I looked at what each one of them do, and it's a similar one that goes with them. So, that one, I don't know my yeast that well. I will say this. Well, I know what it can do sometimes, but like the different strains, I couldn't tell you. If you brewed the same beer with different yeast, I couldn't tell you the difference at all.
Yeah, I think that it takes a little. I think that you really kind of have to experiment with the yeast before you. It's like the flavors are more subtle that a yeast contribute to a beer. So like, and when you drink a commercial beer, they'll like list the hops that they use, but they're not going to tell you what yeast strain, and a lot of times they're house yeast strains anyway. So I do think it's harder to kind of like educate yourself on what they taste like. But I mean that's kind of the gamut of your ingredients. Should we take a sip of this bad boy?
Cheers!
Right, cheers! So now,
I know you had this before, and you and Rich kind of gave me some.
We talked about it at the time, but we were also a few beers deep. So, you know.
Yeah, it's true. of course we were.
Just in case you've forgotten. So, yeah, I'll say on the nose, I get a nice roasty flavor. I don't know that it's not the same aroma I got off of the Killian's, but it's not. I mean, it smells good. I would take a candle that smells like this. And I assume that's the roasted barley.
Yes, definitely roasted barley in there.
I think that. The lightness is definitely there. Like, it's extremely drinkable. You haven't talked about the ABV yet. What is the ABV?
The ABV is 2.62.
Oh boy.
Now that isn't exact. That is an estimation using an app that I have. So this was prior. I have recently started.
That was your theoretical.
Yeah, that was my theoretical. I've recently started doing ABV readings. Actually, no, I take that back. I did do the ABV on this one because I was interested to see what it would do. And this was the first one I did it. So I take that back. So ABV was 2.62.
So that's real low.
That like, is the lowest beer I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think PBR Light is that low.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Now, granted, this has more flavor than PBR Light.
I will say, yeah, the roasted barley gives it a fair amount of flavor mm-hmm. for being as light as it is. Like, it drinks like a beer that light.
Yes.
Which is, you know, really for the style, you're not going for something that's going to, like, hide its alcohol. You're going for something that's, like, low ABV to begin with, and then even easier drinking. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of like how I would describe a cream ale.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, despite being maybe lower than you might have wanted, I think that smoothness wise, it's definitely kind of where you want it to be.
Yeah. No, definitely there. The IBUs is about 26, which is very, very on point where I wanted to be on the lighter hoppiness to it.
But and maybe part of it is the fact that the ABV is low, so there's a little bit less grain in there. But yeah. I definitely get a lot of hop flavor, like not too much.
Yeah.
But I would say probably more than in the Irish Red, but compared to the cream ale, and like I said, this particular cream ale is made with like Michigan hops, and mm-hmm. and I don't know which strains, but I definitely could taste them, and I taste these here, but they're not the same flavors because mm-hmm. you use those British hops. Like I do really get that kind of earthy herbal. Mm-hmm. I would believe, you know, I would believe tea flavor.
Yeah.
I've read that. I didn't come up with that on my own, but like knowing it, drinking this, I could get just a tiny bit of that mm-hmm. that character here.
Yeah. The both the Golden and the Fugle kind of give it that earthiness. The cluster is a little bit more towards the cream ale side.
Yeah.
When I was building this together. So well, it kind of balanced it out a little bit.
I remember us when we did the California Common episode, I had found that despite the fact that most California Commons are made with Northern Brewer hops now, they were originally made with cluster hops. Mm-hmm. So, and that is another really historic American style. So it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of brings it a little, this is an Irish American ale, you know, not just an Irish. So
now, that's to finish up the stats real quick for those who are interested. The original gravity was 1.028, which is very low.
That's a really little boy.
Yeah. And then the final gravity was 1.008, so right where it's supposed to be on that end.
Yeah.
So, I guess for
tasting notes, the one thing I hadn't said, and this is maybe like the critique that I would have is, particularly like if Irish Red is sort of on the sweeter side of red, mm-hmm. I don't taste this beer as being very sweet.
No, I think that's the roasted barley compared to something maybe more towards the red end of it. And I will get into that because I do actually have a plan for the next time I do this.
Yeah, I was going to say that like to me, like when I drank that Killian's, I got specifically like crystal malt flavor.
Yes.
Like sort of, or caramel malt. That like, yeah, just that sort of like mid-level caramel. It adds a sweetness. It adds a little bit of that like kind of caramelized like Maillard reaction flavor. But yeah, I would say if anything, that is probably the flavor that's missing from mm-hmm. this. I don't know if that kind of plays into what you would do next time. But yeah, like in terms of like, I think all in all, for trying to combine two styles that don't really taste that much like each other, I think you did a pretty good job for a first attempt, mm-hmm. and that's maybe the one thing that I would want to see in another version of this beer.
So for my plan next time is I am beeping up the pale malt extract. I'm going to beef it up and hope that we get a little more ABV. So already, when I did this through the app the first time, even without testing the gravity, it was originally saying like 3.5 to almost 4. And then, of course, when I actually found the original gravity and put it in there, it dropped down to the 2.62. That's so right now,
I wonder what happened.
I mean, there's always different things in there that's kind of change it up. But now I'm up in the pale malt to about 8 pounds. I don't remember how much I did last time. It was probably a little bit less. But I'm upping that up to 8 pounds. And then upping a little bit on the flaked maize. And I'm actually changing from the roasted barley. And I'm going to find a red wheat malt to try instead.
Interesting.
So right now it's saying, estimating it's going to be about 5.5%, which is more, I would like a little lower. That's almost
exactly what the Killian's was.
Yes.
But yeah.
But I want more drinkability. I don't mind having a strong light beer. Well, I just want some drinkability.
You still have the flaked maize in there. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see kind of what that does.
Yep.
I might still recommend a little bit of crystal malt in there. You know, maybe split the red wheat and crystal, because I don't know that wheat is going to give you that sweet flavor that you're looking for. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, I'm only doing a half pound of that, so it's not a whole lot of it. Gotcha. That I'm trying to get in there.
Oh, so you're subbing out just a little bit of the roasted barley.
Yeah. Well, okay. No, I only did like I think I didn't change that much. Like it was only about a half pound of the roasted barley. That's all I did for that's for five gallons. I do three, obviously. Still
like that's an appreciable amount. Like
it's more for the color than anything else. It's what I want out of it.
You could like half and half split. I would keep a little bit of the barley because I really like the flavor that it contributes. Right. I mean, this is just, you know.
No, like, I get
you. This is my fan fiction version of your beer, but I like it is sort of a traditional ingredient to an Irish red, but. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of roastiness is really nice if it were just, if it were buttressed with a couple of other, you'll probably have to cut it a little bit if you're adding other malts that are going to add color so you don't get too dark, but I wouldn't eliminate it completely.
The other question would be maybe doing that story that people would put in the beet and everything to try to get that color. So I could do still the roasted barley and then put that little bit of beet in there at the end.
You could try
that. And try and get that color out of it.
I mean, it is sort of a weird beer for you in that you haven't added anything.
Honestly, this is actually, for once, one of my few ones that I do, a traditional beer. There's no extra ingredients. It's just a weird beer because it's two different types of brews that are kind of smashed together. So, and it's honestly something I haven't seen a lot in breweries because as we talked about, everything's been done. Yeah. So I'm honestly waiting for breweries to start smashing beers together. It'd be like, here is a Irish Red Lager or something like that. Or I think I've seen this actually, an IPL, which is a...
That is definitely lager. Been done.
Yeah, okay. So like trying to smash
I really together. Love that style actually, like the kind of hoppy Pilsner style. Mm-hmm. This like New Zealand style Pilsner we're going to be making this week is... kind of like that because it's just apparently how they make their lagers.
I'm excited for this beer. I know you've been selling this up for me. And
I know. If it turns out, I don't think we have room for it this season, but maybe we'll do an episode on it.
Save it for next time. Yeah. Yeah. Can't give away all our stuff right at the bat.
But yeah. Well, I certainly look forward to version two of this beer. I do enjoy this one quite a bit though. So we've talked about the style, we've talked about the beer and what you were going to change. Did you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
The only one I really had, and I like doing these traditions. I do like doing traditional beer brewing where like every so often. Yeah. This and the hazy IPA that I did, but I like still trying. Like I said, I like mashing these kind of stuff together. I'm now trying to think of other ones that I could put together.
You still like trying to kind of, yeah. I think that hybrids as an idea are a cool place for you to be because we've talked about this a little bit maybe in the brewer profiles, but like whereas I sometimes often really like to just try and really nail like an established style. Ryan has trouble not trying to do something at least a little bit unique. And I think hybrid styles are a fun way for you to experiment without it having to always be like a fifth ingredient.
Yeah. No,
you know, you can sort of still like try and put your own spin on things and try and like just really be experimenting. Mm-hmm. But sticking within, ingredients that are like very traditional to beer, and that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's something I want to try a little more and try and see what else I can do. And definitely this one I'm going to try again like I said, trying to maybe up the extract a little bit and get that ABV up. Just, I like, honestly, like even that five that it's projecting right now, I would like that this tiny bit lower still.
Yeah.
Just because I want, I like the ABV doesn't bother me when it's high and it's still like a light flavor and easy to drink, but I still would like something that I could probably like slam back a few and just be like, ah, still good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Is this a, you know, Beerio Cart approved beverage or is it not? That's the question.
Yeah.
So on that note, if you want to leave us your thoughts either on the content of this episode, you know, if you've seen a really, really sweet Irish themed movie lately and you want to tell us about it,
mm-hmm.
You can find us on Twitter at Brewthersinlaw. That's all one word, Brewthersinlaw. And you can also find us on brewthersinlaw.com, same spelling. And then Ryan, there are a few additional places people can find you online. Where can they do that?
So also on Twitter, I'm at Rambo Coon. And for all my beer stuff, I usually keep off to the side and it's Wise Old Owls Brew. And then I also do a blog off to the side just for fun. I don't post that often just because I've been really busy lately with work. But that is hopbrewandblog.com. And actually on there, I actually did something comparing the three different reds. Because there's three different actually styles of reds. You get the Irish red, the American red, which is more of an amber. And you have a Flandish red, which is actually more of a sour beer.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Flemish. But yeah, you can find that on there as well. And we, yeah, definitely like Mike said, love to hear your thoughts on this brew and how everything came out and maybe even your thoughts. I love hearing what other people have to say about brewing and trying to take in their ideas. I get ideas from people all the time because I've had some issues and I reach out to be like, hey, internet, help me.
Yeah. Let the record show this man is officially endorsing online suggestions.
Yes.
About this beer. So, additionally, if you're enjoying the podcast, if you want to leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts, that's very helpful for other people to find us.
Yep. The more you rate us,
build the community.
Yep. More you rate us, the more we get up in there and we'll be right up there with some of the other brew podcasts. We'd love to be up there with them. I mean,
all up in there. All right. So, with that said, have a great week. Stay safe. And until next time.
Cheers, guys.